Well, I'd like to call this meeting to order at 9:01 a.m. on March 28th, 2026. This meeting is being held virtually. As a reminder, the charter of our board, the mission of the board, is to protect the public by setting educational and training standards for licensure and by reviewing complaints made against osteopathic physicians, interns, and residents to ensure that their conduct meets the standards of the profession as defined by law ARS 32-1854. Would you like to take us to a roll call, Mr. Bohol?
Yes, Dr. Cunningham.
Here.
Okay, Dr. Rosenberg.
Here.
Perfect. Ms. Bichelle.
Here.
Dr. Walker.
Present.
Mr. Goodman is absent. Dr. Shippon.
Present.
And Dr. Matem.
Present.
You have a quorum, sir.
Thank you very much. I'd like to just take a moment out of order to welcome Dr. Rosenberg. We appreciate the effort and sacrifice you're making to join us. Thank you very much for being part of the team.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Of course, you're very welcome. Mr. Bohol, call to the public. Do we have anybody on the agenda?
No one has signed in to speak.
Okay. I'd like to welcome the medical students, Midwestern University, Arizona College of Osteopathic Medicine, and A.T. Still, University School of Osteopathic Medicine in Arizona. Do we have students in the wings, Mr. Bohol?
I believe we have a couple of students today, yes.
Perfect. Please pay attention. There's a lot of educational opportunities. We all learn from everything being mistakes or things that seem like they're mistakes and are not, etc. So please pay attention. This is very important to us, and you as students are very important to us. Can we move on to item four, Mr. Bohol?
Yes, we can.
Good. do I have a motion on item A and B? The only abstain I need is from Dr. Rosenberg, of course, since he was not present for those. Was it Dr. Walker? Were you the only other one not present?
Correct. I will abstain.
Gotcha. And everybody else was present, do I remember correctly, Mr. Bohol?
That's correct.
Right. Dr. Matem, if I may, could you just clarify, the minutes are from January 30, 2025. Could you just clarify, I think that's a typo, that they're from January 2026. Is that right, Justin?
They are.
Yes, I'm sorry, they should be January 2026.
Right. Yeah, so if we could just clarify that, that's a typo and those are the minutes you are approving.
I would just like whoever makes the motion to do so with the addendum that this is from January 30, 2026.
I'll make that motion with the adjustments that you have just mentioned, Dr. Matem.
Thank you, Dr. Cunningham. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dr. Shippon. I appreciate it. Is there any further discussion or amendments? If not, all in favor, please indicate with an aye.
Aye. Abstain, excuse me.
You're good. Thank you, Dr. Walker. Excellent. Thank you very much. Motion passes. We can move on. Are we going to item number five next, Mr. Bohol?
Yes. If we want to start with 5A, did want to let the board know that the doctor's attorney has requested a continuance. That continuance has been granted, so we will not be conducting the investigative hearing today. Moving on to 5C, sorry. This is the matter of DO 250127, Travis Stiegler. I believe the doctor and his attorney are present. And if the board would like, there is a potential consent agreement that has been signed by the doctor. if the board would like to consider that in lieu of the investigative hearing.
Justin, as Dr. Cunningham, I'm going to have to recuse myself from this particular case.
Thank you. We will create the breakout room.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bohol. I appreciate it.
Justin, do you need a motion, or Dr. Matem, I'm not sure who to ask, but do you need a motion to accept the consent agreement in lieu of the investigative hearing?
That's so what correct. I'd like is a review of the consent agreement once we make sure Dr. Cunningham is out, which I believe is here just now.
Understood.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So can we get a review of the proposed consent agreement before we make a motion, Mr. Bohol?
Yes. My book is a little slow, but there we go. Okay. The proposed consent agreement includes a stayed revocation, a practice restriction for not less than 5 years, to have a female chaperone present at all times during interactions, examinations, and treatments involving female patients in all settings, 20 hours of continuing medical education in professional boundaries. The doctor has completed a course that is typically approved by the board. The board may accept that as satisfying that requirement. Then there is a stayed civil penalty of $2,000. The stay would be lifted if there's any non-compliance with the order. Then there would be engagement with a monitor and participation in monitoring. This would be a monitoring company that's specifically for ensuring that the chaperone is properly trained, complies with all of the requirements, documents everything in the patient notes, and reports that both to the monitor as well as the board. And then the monitoring company would provide quarterly reports to the board for consideration. And with that, if the board would like to accept that consent agreement in lieu of the investigative hearing, we will, of course, accept that, complete that, and vacate the investigative hearing.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Bohol, I think you said that, but the chaperone was from a separate company or to be approved by the board. Is that correct?
Correct. It's not to be a family member. It doesn't allow for family members of the patients or friends of the patients to act as the chaperone. It has to be a specifically trained individual engages with the monitoring company to comply with the chaperone requirements.
And Dr. Stiegler has agreed to this consent agreement already, if I remember correctly?
That's correct.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Bohol from the board?
No.
If not, I would take a motion.
I'll take the motion to accept the consent agreement for case DO 250127A in lieu of an investigative hearing. Dr. Walker.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. Do we have a second?
Second, Ms. Pichelle.
Thank you, Ms. Pichelle, and good morning. Further discussion? And I believe we need a roll call if there's no further discussion, Ms. Galvin?
That's correct.
Yes, you do.
10 years and I'm starting to learn from you.
Okay. Dr. Walker?
Yes.
Ms. Pichelle?
Yes.
Dr. Cunningham is recused. Dr. Rosenberg?
Yeah.
Mr. Goodman is absent. Dr. Shippon?
Yes.
Dr. Matem?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bohol. I appreciate that. And I'm confident that you'll reach out to the doctor as discussed.
Yes.
Where would you like to move to next?
If we'd like to move to 5D, this is case number DO 230137A, Benjamin Hanshaw. I believe the doctor and his attorney are signed in to speak.
Perfect. I appreciate it. And Mr. Bohol, for this one, I do have a potential or appearance of a conflict. I would like to recuse myself.
Okay, thank you. And we will I will switch you with Dr. Cunningham.
I'm sure he's warmed up the seat for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dr. Chiffon.
Yes. Not.
Welcome back, Dr. Cunningham.
Hi.
Dr. Matem has recused from this case. Dr. Chiffon will be taking the chair. I will present, before we do the investigative hearing, staff has negotiated a potential consent agreement for resolving the case. This would if the board accepts the consent agreement, we would vacate the investigative hearing. The consent agreement would be for a non-disciplinary order of continuing education, as well as a letter of concern. Within 6 months of the order, the licensee shall complete 17 hours of CME in documentation and surgical judgment. The agreement is in full force and effect until the terms have been satisfied. And with that, that would resolve the case before the board.
Yeah, Mr. Bojas, is the physician or his attorney present?
I believe the physician and his attorney are...
They are not present.
They are not present. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So I guess at this point we would accept the consent agreement or have to table the investigative hearing.
That is correct.
Okay. Any questions from the board regarding the consent agreement? Any motions by the board to accept the consent agreement?
I would make a motion to accept the consent agreement.
And I will second that.
Okay. And this does not require a roll call vote because it's non-disciplinary.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes.
Excellent.
All right. Mr. Bo, we can bring Dr. Maidham back.
Perfect. Looks like Dr. Maidham stepped away. Do we want to take a short recess and allow him to come back?
Sure. When does everyone get started? What do y'all feel like? 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Yeah, let's just give 5 minutes, I think.
Okay. All right. We'll see you in 5 minutes.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, I believe six, we do have a quorum. We can resume.
Thank you, Mr. Boho. Where are we moving to next?
If we could move to item number 5E. So this will be the investigative hearing for DO250132A and Dr. Michelle Benson. I believe the doctor is signed in to speak.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And do you have representation, Ms. Benson?
Dr. Benson? No, I do not. No.
That's fine. You don't need that. That's okay. Mr. Bohol, could we swear the doctor in?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'll have Ms. Castro do that.
Dr. Benson, will you please raise your right hand? Do you swear under penalty of perjury to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Benson. Mr. Bohol, who's presenting this case?
I will be presenting.
Thank you.
Okay. Board staff received a complaint that on August 27th, 2025, Dr. Benson was on duty as an anesthesiologist covering the
OB. Mr. Bohol, I'm sorry. Could I interrupt you for just a moment? For disclosure, Dr. Benson did work with a company that I do work for. We do not work directly together, and I was not aware of any of these proceedings while this happened, so I do not feel that I have a conflict of interest. Dr. Benson, for any reason, are you uncomfortable with me being here at this time?
No, I'm fine.
I appreciate that. Believe me, we are as objective as we can. Ms. Galvin, there's nothing further that's a problem with a prior employer relationship with no direct financial relationship, is there?
There is not.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I apologize for the interruption, Mr. Bohol. Please go ahead.
On August 27th, the physician was covering the OB unit of Sonora Crossing Medical Center. The nurses reported that the physician was stuttering, noted the epidural catheter had been placed with the wrong end inserted into the patient, had slurred words, and her eyes were bloodshot. She was asked to leave the patient area and return to her call room. The supervisor was called and responded promptly. On security response, she was no longer in the call room and was identified in the staff bathroom and voiced threats and it's consented to be tested and was found under the influence. Dr. Benson voluntarily signed a practice restriction, restricting her practice in September, and has been compliant with that order so far. And with that, I will turn it over to the board.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bohol. I appreciate it. And Dr. Benson, there may or probably are some parts of this that might be appropriate for personal and confidential information. When there's an event that occurs, bringing it to the board, a lot of this is public, obviously, but likely at some point we're going to ask for personal and confidential information in executive session. If you think something would be more appropriately spoken to there, please say the word and we'll do our best to accommodate you.
Okay. Great.
That being said, could you tell me about these events or anything that you would like to say in a public forum?
I made the decision to practice while not in a condition that met the standards required for safe patient care. I take full responsibility for my actions and the risk they created. I deeply regret my behavior, that it fell below the standards of a physician. Regardless of the circumstances in my personal life, I put patients at risk, and that is unacceptable, and I should have recognized that I was not fit to practice and remove myself from that situation. At the time, I was not managing stress, fear, and emotional instability in a healthy way, and I lacked insight to the severity of my illness, basically. So. And I failed to recognize that I needed help.
Thank you. I really appreciate those statements. And I know that's hard to say in a public setting. I would actually like to make a motion early to move to executive session for personal and confidential information and potential legal advice.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor, please indicate with an aye.
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 You have a quorum, sir.
Thank you. Welcome back to open session, everybody. Are there any further questions from the board? I think you had another question, Dr. Chapin.
I'm sorry, is Dr. Okay. There's Dr. Benson. Okay,
that's it. Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
Hi. Okay. Dr. Benson, I just had a hypothetical question for you. If you were not able to go back to practicing anesthesia, what would you professionally do?
At this point in time, I would be determined to keep fighting and not give up. I'm really proud of myself for how far I've come, and I'm not going to let this define me at this point in time. So I'm just going to continue to try to get back. If it just takes longer, I'm willing to do that.
And is there any other fields in medicine that you have considered?
Not at this time, no.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? If not, if I can summarize again, the board's job here is to protect the public with standards. Where we are now, I see violations on ARS 32.1854.3, practicing while impaired, 1854.4, being diagnosed by a physician licensed under this chapter, 13 of this title, or a psychiatrist licensed under Chapter 19.1 with excessive use of alcohol. 1854.6, engaging in a practice of medicine in manner that harms or may harm a patient, or that the board determines falls below the community standard. 1854.19, committing any conduct or practice contrary to the recognized standards of ethics of the osteopathic medical profession. 1854.20, violating or attempting to violate directly or indirectly any provision of this chapter. 1854.40, committing any conduct or practice that impairs the licensee's ability to safely and skillfully practice medicine or that may reasonably be expected to do so. And 1854.47, engaging in disruptive or abusive behavior in a professional setting. Were there any other concerns from the board? If not, I'd like to make a motion for a consent agreement for a stayed revocation with suspension of 6 months with probation and a degree of censure, with recommendations of a mandatory 5-year physician monitoring contract, with random screening, weekly caduceus meetings, and minimum of 3 12-step meetings, establishing care with private psychiatry with monthly visits, continuing to follow with primary care, quarterly board certified addiction psychiatry visits for regular assessment and medication management, and treatment. Actually, I don't think we had anything on 6, but any positive test, missed test, or material non-compliance shall result in immediate 90-day suspension of practice and removal of the stayed for revocation. Did I say that correctly, Ms. Galvin?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Typically, a violation would result in the lifting of the stay.
Lifting of the stay, yes.
Yes, that would, be preceded by a formal hearing.
Thank you. And does the board feel as if we should have mandatory CE in the doctor's primary practice? Or do you think this is covered well enough in the motion that I made?
I'm very comfortable with how you have stated it now. I don't think CE is needed at this time. She's in a process of trying to get her boards completed, and so.
Very good. I'm okay with that. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
May I ask if your motion with respect to probation follows the terms outlined by the evaluator with respect to term return to work,
yes,
restrictions in the environment, et cetera?
Yes. Anything else I need on that motion, Ms. Galvin or Mr. Bohal? If not, that is my motion.
Do you want to include a provision that if the consent agreement is not signed within a period of days, that the matter would be moved to formal hearing?
Absolutely. Our typical time frame is that measured in weeks or a month. I don't remember, Mr. Bohal.
We typically give them 30 days.
30 days? And then 30 days is fine.
And the only question I had is, did you specify a length of time for the probation?
6 months.
Probation for 6 months?
Probation for 6 months.
No, five years.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking the suspension. I apologize. Yes.
Yes. Suspension for 6 years. Months, probation yes, for 5 years. Okay, yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, I'm mixing my terms.
You're good. That addresses all of my questions.
Okay.
Did you, Ms. Galvin, would they need to delegate any authority for negotiation?
If the board believes that it would accept alternative terms to what was offered, I don't think
we need that. I do want to get this doctor back to work, but I want to do it in the safest way possible, and I think this best outlines the method for doing so.
Thank you.
And I'll second Dr. Madam's motion.
Thank you, Dr. Chabon. Any further questions or discussion on the motion and the second? Thank you. You can do a roll call, Mr. Yeah. Hall.
Dr. Cunningham.
Yes.
Dr. Rosenberg.
Yes.
Ms. Pichelle.
Yes.
Dr. Walker.
Yes.
Dr. Chabon.
Yes.
Dr. Madam.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. And I assume you'll be able to reach out to Dr. Benson about terms and how to proceed further, Mr. Bohal?
Yes.
I really appreciate that. Dr. Benson, we do want you to get back to work, but we want you to do so in the safest possible fashion. And we wish you luck with this. And please keep with the program here.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Bohal, would you like to take 10 minutes?
Yes, please, let's do that.
Okay. I would, yes, thank you.
You're welcome, of course. Thank you very much. So we'll return at 10:35.
Got it.
Six. You do have a quorum if you'd like to present.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody, to public session. Where would you like to move to next, Mr. Bohol?
Yes. Let us move into the licensing applications. I'll have Ms. Castro present, and we will start with 6A DO 0287A. Rosalie Dosher is, I believe, the doctor, and her attorney are signed in to speak.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Castro, you said you were going to present?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Dosher has applied for licensure. On the application, the doctor may have been dishonest when she stated she had never been arrested for or charged with a felony or misdemeanor. During the processing of the application, staff became aware that the applicant had in fact been arrested in 2007 and charged with a misdemeanor for minor in consumption. The applicant stated she was in a vehicle with friends when they were pulled over on suspicion of driving under the influence, and the vehicle was searched. There were several cases of beer and bottles of liquor, along with open beer cans in the vehicle. The applicant further stated she was given a court date and released, but not arrested. She further stated she was required to complete a one-day positive living course. According to the police report, applicant consented to a preliminary breath test with a BAC of 0.063. No records were available from the Maricopa County Justice Court. Additionally, Dr. Dosher was previously issued a postgraduate training permit in 2021. The permit is active until June 30th of 2026. On each of the applications submitted to the board for the permit and the three renewal applications, Dr. Dosher answered falsely to that question.
Thank you very much, Ms. Castro. And Dr., do I pronounce it Dosher? Is that correct?
It's Dosher.
Dosher? I'm sorry. I try really hard. Dr. Dosher, you correct me anytime I get that wrong. That's important to treat people respectfully. I appreciate it. Would you or your counsel like to speak first to this?
Yes, thank you. This is Michael Rain, counsel for Dr. Dosher. We appreciate your time, and we've tried to keep our response pretty simple. We do think this is not an issue that should merit any sort of action by the board to restrict or, of course, deny a license. As Dr. Dosher has articulated, when she was 18, she was arrested or stopped for minor in possession of alcohol. As she's noted in her responses, she had forgotten this. It was when she was 18. And so when board staff tells her, you know, what happened in 2007, she honestly did not know. She went back to her parents, who did remember that incident when she was 18 and dad had to come pick her up from essentially across the street for having her and her friends being caught with alcohol in their teens. Dr. Dosher had already worked with the board staff before engaging me as counsel, and she was able to track down those records. We actually didn't get to see the records until right near the end of the investigative process. So now we know the full story. Dr. Dosher's, of course, apologized for the error she made in her application. And because she did not know this existed until board staff raised it in this matter, of course, she had also, you know, answered that she had not been arrested ever before in previous applications. You know, given the remoteness of the offense and the nature of the offense when she was 18, we hope the board can at least presume with us that, you know, there was no reason for Dr. Dosher to have wanted to conceal such an old and minor incident. And so, you know, it has been a great learning lesson. I will allow the board now to speak with Dr. Dosher and ask any questions you have. We're happy to continue the discussion.
I appreciate that. But just to be clear, we're a profession that's very responsible for our actions, interpretation, and memory of information. But I do also understand what you're saying, Mr. Rain. Would Dr. Dosher like to say anything else before board is open to questions?
So good morning. I do agree with everything that Mr. Rain has already stated, but during the application process, I really had just simply forgotten about the citation from my youth, and I did fail to report it on my application, and it's a mistake that I'm very sorry for. I really was not trying to be deceitful at all in not reporting it. It really was unintentional, and I do apologize for my mistake.
I appreciate that, Doctor. Thank you very much. I'd like to open the floor to the board for questions and also put out the potential for moving to executive session, but I would not recommend that yet. Any questions from the board?
I have a question. Mr. Rain just had stated that you were arrested in this situation. Dr. Dasher, were you arrested in that?
No, I was not arrested. We were pulled over and I was with friends. I was a passenger in the vehicle, so I was just taken out of the vehicle and given a citation by the sheriff's officers. I was not arrested.
Well, and if I may, it's a term of art, arrest versus charged. I think the key distinction was she was never charged. She never went to court. An arrest can be as simple as being stopped by the police, but she was never charged.
And Mr. Boha, the line in the application, can we read that?
Yes, actually, I'll have Ms. Castro read it because she has that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The question says, have you ever been arrested for, charged with, or convicted of any felony or any misdemeanor? And then it goes on to say you have to answer yes, if. That's the question. Charged with, arrested, charged with, or convicted.
Reading that now, Dr. Dasher, how would you answer that question, considering?
Knowing what I know now and knowing that this appears on my background check, I would answer yes, considering that I now know that the minor consumption charges there on my record, I would answer yes.
So you still don't feel that without it being disclosed by that we were have discovered that you never would have disclosed it? Is that correct?
Well, I didn't, at the time of my application, I didn't remember it. So that's why I had answered no all of those times, both on my training permit applications and on this application. I just simply had not remembered being cited for minor consumption. It was only when the board came back to me and made me aware of it, and having spoken to my parents, that I was made aware of it. So I would answer yes to that question now, knowing that it's there. But prior to this application process, I did not remember this incident at all.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the board? I would just like to make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential information and potential legal advice.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Dr. Cunningham. All in favor, please indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Good.
Aye.
Good. I believe the ayes have it, Mr. Bohol.
Thank you. I will open the executive session room. Just waiting for Dr. Cunningham. There we are. I believe you have your quorum.
Perfect. Thank you very much. We're back out in open session. Thank you, everybody, for their patience. Do we have any further questions for the doctor?
Dr. Madam, I just have a more of a statement with which I'm struggling with this case. And perhaps it's the whole arrest citation. Is there a difference? It's my understanding that in this situation, Dr. Dosher, you were taken out of the car, sat down on the curb, and you were administered a breathalyzer. And in my mind, that's a big jump from a citation and something that I would think would be remembered. I'm just putting it out there. That's what I'm struggling with in this case.
Well, that's a good question, Ms. Pichelle. I appreciate that. And these are things that I would expect, especially in a trained person, to stick out in their memory. So that's part of why we have to adjudicate these cases. Lindsay, I'm trying to remember the documents. I'm sorry. I thought there was something in the explanation about receiving a court date. Do I remember that correctly from the documents we were provided?
Yes. In the response that the doctor provided, she states, I was not arrested for the offense, only cited, given a court date, and released. I went to court in April of 2007 and was required to complete a one-day positive living course, which I successfully completed.
Speaking to Ms. Bichelle's point there, I think that would be something that would stick out in the doctor's memory, and hopefully somebody who's trained to answer questions key something in their memory as to an event that did happen that might fall into that category. Any other questions from the board? If no further questions, I will happily take a motion.
I make a motion to grant her an unrestricted license.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
A second, Dr. Chapin.
A motion and a second. Do we have further discussion? In that case, all in favor, please indicate with an aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Thank you. A motion carries. Thank you very much for being candid with us, Doctor. We appreciate your time in addressing this and allowing us to do our jobs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Where would you like to move to next, Mr. Bohol?
If we can move to item 6B, which is case number DO-260032A, Mark Hughes. I believe Dr. Hughes is signed in to speak.
Perfect. And Lindsay, are you summarizing this case for us?
Yes, sir.
It'd be lovely to hear from you again. Go ahead, please. Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Hughes has applied for full licensure. On the application, Dr. Hughes disclosed that he entered into a non-disciplinary corrective action agreement with the Oregon Medical Board in 2024 for prescribing controlled substances below the standard of care. The corrective action agreement required that Dr. Hughes complete CME and prescribing and documentation and follow the CDC guidelines for the safe prescribing of opioids. Dr. Hughes stated the investigation included a review of 7 patient records that found deficiencies primarily in documentation. The Oregon Medical Board has confirmed his compliance with the corrective action agreement.
Thank you. And Dr. Hughes, would you like to address the board?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I appreciate the time to allow just to meet before you and review the application process. So, yeah, as the summary stated here, too, so, I had a patient who was a local nurse at the hospital fail a drug test. She was one of our patients who was on chronic opioid therapy and contract with. And so with that investigation through her nursing board, it prompted a review and inquiry into my practice and that too. And so her case and 6 additional patients that they selected through the PDMP review were then requested the records from May of 2021 to 2022. And so I met with the board and we reviewed essentially the 2022 CDC standards latitude for practicing, and note of the deficiencies in regards to staying up to date with in-person visits, documentation, including with their urine drug screens, necessity for Narcan prescriptions, as well as just general counseling due on risk of opioid medications and how they can be involved with certain medical situations, respiratory suppression, and so on. So, yep, and in my review of that too, it was a very good inquiry overall too. I really felt that it kind of opened my eyes that I was, creating some compromise to trying to meet all the circumstances during the COVID era there too, but allow things to fall below standard here with lack of proper follow-ups with patients there. So really felt that that actually was probably a benefit to me in my practice. It was a blessing that there were no poor outcomes. In fact, three of the patients eventually had successful surgical procedures where we were allowed to titrate them down and off opioid therapy, and three additional patients we were get established again with specialty care here and have some successful titration down for that. So the inquiry and the matter there too also prompted my business partner. We were in a small private practice with two providers to make some decisions for our practice as a whole for protecting patients. So we actually were able to merge with a multi-specialty group that was successful at the end of 2022. Which brought in two more providers and really opened up to the opportunity just for us to be able to stay on track, stay on protocol, and help meet the standards. I feel the PBI courses were exceptional. I've actually recommended those to a number of colleagues, even without going through any investigative processes there too. And my new position, family moved down here to Arizona to be closer to additional family to at the end of 2023, and I've been employed full-time with the Phoenix New Medical Center with the IHS and the primary care clinic. Just been very blessed there too to have such a great structural program here with pharmacy and staff, specialties including orthopedic, rheumatology, pain management. I picked up the paneled patients from a provider who was leaving at the time too, and brought on three patients who were being managed with chronic opioid therapy. And as I gave an update to the Oregon Medical Board here about 3 months ago, just continue to meet the standards too, as recommended by the CDC as well. So I feel like it was again, a great learning experience for me in my practice. One of the things we learned at the PBI course, different reasons for becoming negligent, falling in substandard care is, I hate to say this, age and comfort and compromise there. And so that too, but it was opportunity I felt for me just to be able to continue practicing, but do it obviously in a very safe fashion.
That's good to hear, Dr. Hughes, and it sounds like your interaction with the Oregon board was overall positive. That's what I want to hear. And Mr. Bohol, if after today's meeting, if you wouldn't mind following up with the courses Dr. Hughes was speaking of, I'd be interested in following up with that too. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have that information available for our doctors. I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Any questions from the board? If no questions, my recommendation would be a non-disability letter of concern, noting that the actions from another state would have also been below the standard of care in this state. That being said, this has been adjudicated already, and no further punitive action seems to be necessary from the board. Am I able to make that motion in conjunction with granting a full and unrestricted license, Jean and Mr. Bohol?
Yes, that could be part of a consent agreement. Accepting the letter of concern, then full licensure would be granted.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion for a consent agreement as stated and direct board staff to follow through with this.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, please indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Perfect. And I'm okay to do that with a motion without a roll call since this is not disciplinary. Is that correct, Ms. Galvin? Okay. I'm staying legal. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, Dr. Hughes, I appreciate your presentation and being candid. Thank you very much, and welcome to Arizona.
Thank you very much, everyone. I appreciate it myself.
Thank you. Where are we moving to next, Mr. Bojo?
Well, let's move to item 6C, which is DO 260031. I believe the doctor is signed in to speak. And Ms. Castro will be presenting the information.
Please go ahead, Ms. Castro.
Thank you. Dr. Jagerlamudi has applied for full licensure. On the application, the doctor disclosed that he was dismissed from his residency at Loma Linda University after completing 2 years following a concern that he showed up for a 5 a.m. shift still intoxicated from the night before. The doctor further stated that he was pulled from the inpatient rotation at the time and informed the following week that he was being dismissed from the program. Staff confirmed with Loma Linda University that he was terminated from employment July 1, 2024. The university stated that their concerns of intoxication were confirmed with a positive blood drug screen. Loma Linda further stated that at the time of his termination, the doctor was on a formal improvement plan for medical knowledge due to not achieving the residency program's internal requirements on the annual American Board of Family Medicine and Training examination. The doctor also disclosed that he had been arrested in November 2024 and charged with a DUI. The doctor stated he had been drinking at a local bar and then drove a friend home. The doctor further stated that another individual expressed concern about him being intoxicated and called 911. The doctor states he was pulled over and was parked at a Petco when the police made contact with him. As a result of the charges, he was required to complete a 3-month DUI course and attend AA sessions twice weekly. Staff received arresting documentation that indicated the doctor did not pull over and park at someone's request, but was involved in an auto collision, and the driver of the other vehicle suspected he was intoxicated and called 911. The police report states the doctor did not comprehend what day of the week it was and stated that he had not slept in 2 days. The doctor was also told the police officer that he only had one beer prior to driving that night. His BAC was reported to be 0.261. The doctor stated that he has last practiced August of 2025 when his California license expired.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lindsay. I appreciate it. Dr. Jagerlamudi, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
That's correct.
Perfect. Would you like to speak as to these events?
Yeah, good morning. First, I'd just like to thank the board for the opportunity to provide a statement regarding my case and for your time and consideration in reviewing this. I acknowledge the seriousness of the matter and accept full responsibility for my actions. I recognize this incident represents a significant lapse in judgment and does not reflect the standards of professionalism, ethical conduct, or personal responsibility expected of me as a physician. I understand that as a physician, I'm held to a higher standard of conduct, both professionally and personally. I deeply regret my actions and that may have undermined any public trust in both the profession and any confidence placed in me by my patients, colleagues, or the community as a whole. Since the incident, I've been fully compliant with all legal requirements and have taken proactive steps towards remediation and self-improvement. That includes completing all court-mandated obligations, upholding abstinence, participating in weekly AA meetings. I believe I also submitted a document of twice-a-week AA meetings to the board prior to this. I've also engaged in reflective practices to address the factors that contributed to these events. I've taken steps to ensure that my future conduct aligns with the ethical and professional expectations of an osteopathic profession. Importantly, this incident has not impacted my ability to practice medicine safely and competently. I remain fully committed to patient safety, sound clinical judgment, and adherence to all laws and regulations related to the medical practice. Following the incident, I did continue to practice at a local clinic in California until the day my license expired. I did not have any complaints or concerns with staff or patients about intoxication or any other concerns or complaints. Should I be granted a Arizona license, I would potentially be practicing for an underserved Native American population, Flagstaff, who currently has an interim medical director and a nurse practitioner as the only physicians at that clinic. I'd also like to reaffirm my ongoing commitment to uphold the principles of osteopathic medicine, including integrity, accountability, and the promotion of patient welfare. I'm dedicated to maintaining the trust placed in me and to demonstrating through my actions that this incident doesn't define my professional character. I appreciate the board's time and consideration and ready to comply with any additional requirements or recommendations that you deem appropriate.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jagrath-Moody. I appreciate that. Mr. Bohol, in the information that I received with this packet, I don't feel as if the board got enough information to be comfortable with granting a full and unrestricted license. Has this doctor been referred to a PACE evaluation, or have we had any other actions to try to, or Ms. Lindsay, I'm sorry, have we taken any steps to remediate this yet?
We have not requested any type of evaluation from the applicant.
I'm sure that's our standard. So I'm not trying to stop any further discussion. I'd like to have discussion after this as appropriate, but I think we need a order for an evaluation to be completed by a system such as PACE for psychological fund of knowledge and fitness for duty with a substance component. So I'm just going to put that out there, but what I'd like to do is open the floor to questions from the board before we proceed with making that a motion. Does the board have any questions? I'm sorry, Ms. Galvin, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, Justin, does PACE do substance use evaluations? I know they do physical and psychiatric and fund of knowledge, but I don't know about a substance use aspect.
I believe that they have that component available. They build the programs individually based on what's requested from the board.
So if or when we go to a motion, we could do PACE and or appropriate evaluation.
There you go.
And I'm not saying it has to be PACE. That's just what I'm familiar with. Questions from the board, and we still have the option to move to executive session.
Dr. Beta, if I may, before we go to executive session, I agree with you. I think there's two issues here. Clearly, we're dealing with an issue with substance abuse. But also, I wanted to ask the doctor, did you finish your residency at all? Did you go to another place, or did you just, when you were terminated, did you just start private practice?
So when I was terminated, I initially started applying to other residency programs to complete it. Unfortunately, with the way the residency program worked, after completing 2 years, most residencies would have had to subsidize a fourth year if they're taking me on as a second year. So I continued to look, but in the meantime, I was practicing in California at the local urgent care. But continue to look for residencies. Any headway I made on that was ultimately that substitution aspect was kind of a stepping stone that was difficult to kind of overcome as far as residency directors were concerned. So I did not end up completing that third year of residency.
So you're not board certified in family practice? Are you board certified in anything now?
No, I'm not board certified.
Okay. My next question is, why didn't you renew your California license?
So California has a rule that you must complete 36 months of residency in order to renew it. So having only completed those 24 months, California, I did not technically qualify. And even if I had gotten into a residency, it would have had to be exactly on July 1st. Otherwise, they wouldn't grant me that license.
So, thank you, doctor. So Dr. Batem, I feel we have two issues here with the fund of knowledge that the doctor may have or may not have. I'm not saying he does, but I'm just curious about that. I'm not sure how think PACE may be a way to go. The second is then evaluation for substance abuse, but I do have some questions in executive session. But if anybody else has any other questions, I'm done asking those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Cunningham.
Thank you, doctor.
Any other questions from the board? If not, I'd like to make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential advice and potential legal advice.
Second.
Thank you. Motion and a second. If no further discussion, all in favor, please indicate with an aye.
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 And I think the ayes have it, Mr. Bohol.
You have your quorum, sir.
Thank you. We're back in open session. Do any other board members have any questions for Dr. Jagarthamudi? If not, I would like to make a motion for an interim order for an evaluation to include psychological fund of knowledge, fitness for duty, and a substance abuse component with systems such as PACE or CPEP, with this to be registered within 30 days and completed within 6 months. Otherwise, denial of license application. The details to be accepted by board staff.
I second that.
I have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? If not, do we need a roll call for that?
Yes.
Please go ahead, Mr. Bohol.
Okay. Dr. Cunningham.
Yes.
Ms. Pichel.
Yes.
Dr. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Dr. Walker?
Yes.
Dr. Chiffon?
Yes.
Dr. Matem?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bohol. I appreciate that. Dr. Jagarthamudi, I believe Mr. Bohol will reach out to you to help you with information on what needs to be done to proceed next.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Doctor. Where are we on time, Mr. Bohol? Do we need to take a break? Are we in a position better that we can keep moving forward? I'm not sure about the weight of the agenda from for the next
You have completed the bulk of the agenda. The next case, I don't believe the applicant is present, so I can provide a quick update on that one.
Please.
I believe doctors. So if we want to move to 6D, which is DO26003A, this is Liberty Everly. The doctor requested a continuance, but due to the application time frame, the board needed to review this case and make a determination today in order to comply with that. So if the board has no questions for her, the board can adjudicate it today or grant that continuance and speak with the doctor at a future date.
And this one was referring to the violation in Kansas that had was related to a fine, do I remember correctly?
That is correct.
Okay, I do remember the case then, thank you. I am fine with a consent for a letter of concern acknowledging the violation in Kansas would have also been below the standard of care in Arizona. And if signed, then granting a full and unrestricted license.
Would you like a summary of the application for the record?
I would, actually. That would be great.
Okay, thank you.
You do so much work, I don't want to cut you off, Ms. Gasper.
So Dr. Eberly has applied for a full license. On the application, she disclosed that she was required to pay a fine to the Kansas Board of Healing Arts for not paying into the Kansas Stabilization Fund. The Kansas Board issued a summary order in March of 2019 that required her to obtain and maintain a policy of professional liability insurance as required by Kansas law, or the license would be indefinitely suspended. The $500 fine was reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank. Dr. Eberly complied with the requirement and received a notice of satisfaction in May of 2019, noting that the license had not been suspended. Dr. Eberly has also been licensed in multiple other states and has no other disciplinary action.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Ms. Castro. So we have a motion on the floor. I can take a second or further discussion.
I'll second. Oops, sorry.
We have lots of seconds. Is there any
further? Dr. Chiffon was first.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion? Otherwise, I can take a vote. I can do this by raise of hands, correct, Mr. Bohol? All in favor, please indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. I appreciate it. Thank you, Ms. Castro. Would you like to move forward, Mr. Bohol?
Yes, if we can move to item E, which is DO260053A, Nicholas Bowman. I believe the doctor signed in to speak, and I'll have Ms. Castro provide a summary.
Perfect. Go ahead. Thank you, Ms. Castro.
Dr. Bowman has applied for renewal of his full license, and he does not hold a postgraduate training permit. On the application, the doctor answered no to the question, during the past 2 years or since your last renewal, have you been notified or made aware that your hospital privileges or healthcare program affiliations were denied, restricted, lost, suspended, or modified, or subject to any other adverse action, even if that action was not required to be reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank? Or have you been notified of any complaints against or reviews of your privileges or affiliations that have not yet been resolved? During the processing of the renewal, staff received a verification of postgraduate training, noting that Dr. Bowman had been placed on probation in August of 25 for concerns with his ability to meet the program's academic standards in professionalism and interpersonal and communication skills. The concerns were based on noted instances of resisting consult requests from various teams, the tone and manner of his interactions with both faculty and trainees. The probation was set for a period of 3 months with the requirement that the doctor have no further complaints regarding unprofessional behavior and no further complaints regarding him resisting consults from the medical team. The probation was lifted December 22nd of 2025. The doctor held a postgraduate training permit from 2021 to 2024 and was issued a full license in December of 23. This is his first renewal application submitted to the board.
Thank you, Ms. Castro. I appreciate that. And Dr. Bowman, do you have representation?
I do not. I'm just here with myself.
Oh, that's absolutely perfect. Not a problem. Please go ahead. What would you like to speak to in this case?
Well, first off, I just want to appreciate you all taking time out of your busy schedules and weekends, I'm sure, to ensure that the public is safe and ensure that everyone is practicing the standard of care. I think kind of with the renewal, there's kind of like two things that warrant further discussion. One is the probation that Ms. Castro described, which, even after the probation has been lifted, I've not been informed of any other instances and made, lots of efforts both to change tone, behavior, et cetera, in order to help facilitate that consult primary team relationship. And then in regards to the license renewal and not disclosing that upon the initial renewal process, that was simply an oversight on my behalf, was trying to, get the license renewal in on time while undergoing, busy training and things like that. And it was just a simple oversight on my account. And for that, I deeply apologize and we'll make sure that doesn't happen again.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bowman. I appreciate it. That being said, obviously these applications are very important and the questions contained in are also very important. It's part of our job to be thorough and to interpret information as we were speaking of in a prior case. So this is very important to us. But that being said, question from the board? If not, can you tell me what your practice that you're looking at is?
I will be hopefully sitting for infectious disease boards in October and practicing at TMC.
Fantastic. All right. That's great. A job I definitely don't want. Mr. Bohol, are we in a place where I can make a motion for a consent for a letter of concern for violation of 32.1854, procuring, renewing, or attempting to procure or renew a license to practice osteopathic medicine by fraud or misrepresentation, and with that letter of consent being signed, grant a full and unrestricted license?
It would be the renewal of his license.
Or a renewal of license. Got it. Okay.
Right.
Pretty mm-hmm. That is my motion.
Okay.
Do I have a second on that?
Second.
I'll second, Dr. Walker.
Perfect. A motion and a second. Is there further discussion? If not, all in favor, please indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. I appreciate your time, Dr. Bowman. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate all of your time. Hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bohall, are we at proposed consent agenda?
That is correct. So the proposed consent agenda is 7A. I can provide a brief summary. The board received an anonymous complaint alleging that the doctor was advertising on his website that he's board certified in cardiology. However,
read the numbers and names on those if you don't mind.
Sorry.
That's okay.
DO240168A, Jack Wolfson. According to the American Board of Internal Medicine, Dr. Wolfson has not been board certified in over a decade, nor is he participating in the maintenance of certification process. Staff conducted a review of his website, as well as got a response from the physician stating that he had let his board certification go and chose not to renew it on July 31st, 2024, but failed to change his website. He states it was changed in December of 2024, which was at the time of the complaint. The board previously reviewed this for consideration, and board staff noted that there may be some locations that had not been updated. The board directed staff to go and ensure that those had been changed. In the meantime, we have confirmed that those items remain, have been addressed. There's only one place that notes that he's board certified, and that's on his Amazon about the author section. So if the board would like to consider closing this case by issuing a letter of concern for false and misleading advertising.
And do you think the summary of this section can be handled by reviewing all of these, or do you need us to vote individually?
Just that case.
Is it just that case? Well, that's perfect.
Yep.
Excellent. Are there further questions for Mr. Bohall? The doctor or representation is not present, correct? Thank you. Any further questions on that for Mr. Bohall? Otherwise, I would entertain a motion.
Could I ask Justin one question? Justin, I was going through all his website and so forth, getting ready for the board. And as I recall, and Gene, don't yell at me, did this doctor have other issues with before the board? The past, you know, we don't list them in the past, but this guy, I for some reason rings a bell that he's had issues with our board.
You can yell at him, Gene, but yes.
Yes, okay. I would like to yell at you. And any past encounters with the board would not be relevant at this time unless you found a violation today.
Okay. I just found it very interesting that he lists himself on his website as the number one natural cardiologist. I don't know what that means. I don't know how he evaluates himself being the number one natural cardiologist. That kind of bothered me, but clearly he's, I'm going to just say, stretching the bounds of his abilities. It seems like that made me concerned. That was all I had to share with the board.
Understood.
Once again, I'd like to mirror that. He was the world's greatest cardiologist. He was voted one of five in some category, and I was thinking I didn't know y'all had Academy Award type things. It just seems puffery, a lot of puffery that makes me nervous.
I agree with you, Ms. Pichel. That is a reasonable statement.
I don't know if we can do anything about it, but I mean, I just wanted the other board members to be aware. I'm sorry, Gene, you can yell at me.
That being said, further questions, or do we have a motion on the floor?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Shabbat. You always go first.
All right. That being said, I'd like to make a motion for DO25-0127A to accept the consent agreement as proposed.
I'll second that.
I think that was the wrong case number.
Oh, did I thank you.
Aren't we on Wolfson?
Yeah. I apologize. Right. Thank you. I scrolled. Sorry, I'll amend that to DO240168A, please.
And then I'll make my second for that particular case.
Perfect. We have a motion and a second on the correct doctor. Thank you very much, everybody. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor, please indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Bohol, take it away.
Yep. In the meantime, we can have the students join. And while the students are joining, we can either move to item 10A, which is the appointment of Dr. Joshua Rosenberg to the board, or the reports. Okay, so moving on to item 10, Dr. Rosenberg has been recently appointed by the governor to the board. So welcome, Dr. Rosenberg. We're glad to have you. He would be eligible for two terms after this. He's filling in a partial term. So he will continue serving until he's either replaced or reappointed. So we hope for reappointment already.
That sounds perfect. Thank you very much. Would you like to move on to the report? I think the students are still filing in.
That's perfectly fine. Moving on to item 11A, this is a report from board members. If any of the board members had something that they needed to report or something they're looking forward to.
Well, I don't have anything to report, but I look forward to every day that I work with the staff. Does anybody else have anything else? Go ahead, Mr. Bohol.
Okay, moving on to 11B, this is the report from the executive director. I wanted to note that on Tuesday, Dr. Walker and I will be presenting at Midwestern University for their annual ethics presentations for the first year medical students. And then we have been invited, Dr. Shippon and Dr. Matem, and I will be going in April to present at AT Still for their PTSUA presentation, so we'll be doing a panel discussion. I'm entitling it Demystifying the Board and the Regulatory Process, so we'll be looking forward to seeing the medical students then. One thing I did want to note, I have been toying around with this for a while, and I think it's about time that we started inviting the medical students back to when we hold in-person meetings, that they would be able to attend in person. And one other change that I thought would be helpful is instead of limiting the attendance to only when the program selects that date and has them attend, we could open the attendance to any student that would like to come regardless of their year or if they have come before. And so they could come before the board and participate in that way.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. So my plan will be when we have our in-person meeting in the fall that we will have some medical students present to be able to engage with. And in regards to a financial report, we continue to move forward with our expected expenditures. The Arizona legislature has not introduced a budget bill yet that will determine where we start for July 1st, 2026. We continue to advocate for additional staff so that we can comply with our Auditor General recommendations for closing cases within 180 days, as well as processing new applications for new physicians. So we continue to advocate for that. In the meantime, we have hired two contract workers, one for investigations, one for licensing, to help process and adjust those timelines. So we are seeing a good work from both of them to help address those concerns, be able to comply. And since the previous board meeting, I have dismissed one complaint, and I'm reporting that to the board. And with that, that concludes my report, and I believe the medical students are present, so I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Matem.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Mr. Bohol. So who do we have? We have student doctors Liang, am I saying your name correctly, and Curtin? It's a pleasure to meet both of you. You're welcome to come off of mute. This is just a chance for us to talk to you, since you are our future, and that's very important for you to talk to us. I think the board itself and our board meetings can be a very intimidating process, obviously, for the doctors involved. And that being said, is so important to be able to do our jobs correctly, because we have an obligation to keep our practice safe and our educational and practice standards current. That being said, we can't speak to any particular case, but the main things that I'd like to hear from the students are, is this something that is useful for you? And more importantly, what could you take away from that? Student Dr. Curtin, would you like to let us know your opinion or feelings on this?
Yeah, I thought this was great. It was like a really good opportunity just to kind of, I like the word demystify the board. I thought this kind of like really fit perfectly, honestly. And speaking from other students too in our class that have done this too, because I think starting in like this past fall is when like we started doing this, coming either, I think it was all virtual, but everyone really enjoyed it. Like it was kind of like, it was one of those surprising things, you know, it's not really something you dread, but you know, it's just like that extra thing on the calendar that's there, you know, with like board studying and everything. But you know, it honestly, it was a pleasure to be here. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Oh, good. I know you have a lot on your calendar, so I get it. How about you, student Dr. Liang?
Yeah, I think it was very useful. Doctors aren't immune to, I mean, the cases we talked about was like substance abuse, so they're not immune to being in those positions. So it's good to like help out, keep a lookout, and try to like encourage people to get help if they're in those positions.
Yeah, I think you hit on one of the most important things there, student Dr. Liang, is in fact, we are humans. We've not been completely replaced by AI yet. I don't think we will anytime terribly soon. So in the meantime, we're vulnerable to everything human. And we have still a generation that's under the suck it up buttercup attitude, which is horrendous. And that's how I was trained. I'm sure most of us on the board were trained exactly that way. If you complained that you were always had to worry that you'd be thrown out of your residency, you did not admit to weakness, you did not say you were too tired, too stressed, too anything. And it turns out that was a terrible idea, and we broke a lot of people. I lost a few people in through residency and practice that could have easily still been practicing or, unfortunately, alive. So it's, we take this really seriously. So we were talking about people reaching out and using resources and actually taking care of themselves. I think we're terrible at it, and I think we need a reminder. And unfortunately, these bad cases are a fantastic reminder to us that we need to take care of our issues before we can take care of our patients' issues. So please, if you learn nothing else from us, just remember that. We need you to be functioning for 30 or 40 years as fantastic physicians. If you break yourselves early, then you're no use to us. We don't want that. Right. Anything else from the rest of the board? Who would like to speak next, maybe I should say? Otherwise, I'm going to vote for Dr. Chapin.
take myself off mute. I think with the discussion that we had today, I think it is important for yourselves and for your colleagues. If we could just there is a confidential monitoring program that we have at the board that I think Mr. Bohog can speak a little bit more directly about. But this is before. You know, before you come in front of the board with a complaint, before something, there is a program that can be entered to help you. And I think that's a great program that we have. And just let you go ahead, Mr. Bo.
Yeah. One of the things that we have established in statute is a confidential monitoring program. So this is not anything that's reported to National Practitioner Data Bank or reported to employers. It's a confidential monitoring program, and as long as the physician remains compliant with that, it's not something that's ever released to the public, but it allows the physician to rehabilitate and get some groundwork and some traction to continue being able to practice safely and skillfully, which is, you know, the mission of the board is to protect the public in that aspect. And licensees are a part of that. Protecting the public, so we have to do both sides.
That's perfect. I appreciate it.
And just one more thing for on things that we've discussed today is it's also important, really important, to be as honest as you can with your application. And if you're ever in doubt, you can always communicate with the board and ask them questions about how things should be answered. I was just going to, Mr. Bow, if you want to expand on that just a little bit, I just wanted you to.
Yes, my staff is always available to help answer those questions. It helps us to know that maybe there's odd circumstances or something that surrounds that. Things don't always require being able to come to the board. Staff can handle a lot of those things even before it becomes an issue. But failing to disclose is a concern for the board.
Thank you. Ms. Pichelle, can I talk to them a little bit about you and maybe you have some wisdom for these student doctors? So Ms. Pichelle is a public member with us here. The board is not just physicians. We're missing one of our public members right now, but obviously our job is to protect the public. So public members are part of the board and their opinions are vital to us. We appreciate having them here. Ms. Pichelle, do you have any wisdom to pass on to these student doctors?
I would like to share something that I just read today, and I'm going to steal it with Mr. Bohol's permission from something that he wrote, and that was, "Your professionalism starts now." And that really struck me this morning, and in all the cases we saw today, actions have consequences. You don't get to start being a professional the day we issue your license. That starts now and continues. And keep that in mind. You can see how seriously we take these matters. So behave professionally and come to us in a professional manner, and that speaks volumes. And thank you for being here today.
I think that says a lot. And the usual statement I have is, take a moment and think. It's something that we're trained to do. We exercise our brains all the time. Before you say something or do something, almost every situation you have a time to think. Not everything, but almost every situation you have time to think. So it's better to think than to regret. I'm just going in order from left to right of my screen. Dr. Cunningham, don't stand up, please.
I've got shorts on, everybody, okay? With my suit, I gave it away. I did this all the time during the pandemic. So glad that you guys are here. You are the future of osteopathic profession, and I want to say it again, just like Ms. Pichelle said too. You are professionals, and you are held to a different standard compared to the general public, and people look to you. And dress appropriately too. But the thing that I wanted to talk to you about is about alcohol use. Again, as Dr. Beatham said, we can't comment about the case here. But if you have a substance abuse, alcohol issue, this is the time to take care of it. Please don't wait till it comes before the board. Even if you have a friend or a colleague that has an issue that's with you in school, it may cost a friendship. But please confront them and help them, because this is the time to take care of it. And like Dr. Chapon said, we do have a confidential program. Of course, you talk to us before there's a complaint. And so we want physicians to be healthy. We realize that there is not all complete work. We want you to have a personal life too. But if there is an issue with any of those substance abuse or alcohol use, please take care of that now. And because just don't wait for it to come to the board. I tell my med students that rotate with me, if you have one drink, who do you call? Uber. If you get a DUI, I'm going to tell you, we know that people are, I remember when I was in school, we like to celebrate after we completed our boards and things like that. Please don't drive, because that will follow you for the rest of your life. As you saw, and we discussed earlier, that you have to report anything and any application with the board, any staff, insurance company, you will have to report this. So please do those things to ensure that your health and safety moving forward. And thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Cunningham. I appreciate it. Dr. Rosenberg, do you have any wisdom you'd like to impart?
Oh, my kids will tell you I have all sorts of wisdom. the one thing I would say is
I agree with, well, first off, thank you guys for being here, and it speaks to who you are as future doctors that you're taking time out of your schedule. The one thing I would reiterate is we've heard multiple times you can't hide things from the board, and that's very, very true, and I would even expand on that to say you can't hide things from anyone, and so if you ever have one of these issues, it's the safest thing to do is to disclose it and be honest about it, whether it's a job application or a payer insurance company application or whatever, because it's always going to get found out, and it's just easier if you disclose it from the start. And you know, sometimes hiding it may result, even if you disclose it to the board, but you hide it from someone else, you may end up at the board anyway. So always best to just be honest about who you are and who you were. So that's my two cents.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Dr. Rosenberg, and definitely welcome here. We appreciate it. We need hospitalists here as representation. You help offer a different perspective. So as you gentlemen can see, we have multiple staff members from legal, our executive director, deputy directors, and our operations staff, as well as two assistant attorney generals here. So this is a lot, and I'd just like to thank the board members. What you guys cannot see is we are blessed with, I think it's fair to say, tens of thousands of documents just for one day's meeting that we have to get through to make this meeting move smoothly. So you might hear cases that go by fast, but believe me, they are not fast. The amount of time that we have to spend with this is impressive, and the summaries that our staff gives us during the meetings is helpful for keeping us on track. So thank you very much to the board members for all the work they do to make these meetings go smoothly. I appreciate that. That being said, are we on item 12 yet, Mr. Bohol?
I believe we are.
Do we have a motion for item 12? That would be adjournment if nobody got that yet.
I make a motion for adjournment.
You do? Okay, do I have a second?
A second.
We have a motion and a second. If there are none opposed, then all indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We're going to say that motion carries. Thank you, everybody, and thank you, students.